Tyco International says it has overstated its profits by $382 million. The troubled company yesterday acknowledged what it called a pattern of aggressive accounting that artificially inflated its results. Also, the chairman of Global Crossing resigned effective today. Gary Winnick says he deeply regrets the financial losses caused by the telephone company's bankruptcy. This pair of developments helps bring to a close a year of scandal for corporate America. While profits were scarce in 2002, indictments were plentiful. And joining us now to reflect on the year gone by is NPR's Scott Horsley. Scott, first, what's the latest on Tyco?
Robert, the company yesterday released the results of an internal investigation which found that there was a widespread pattern to stretch and bend and, in some cases, just fabricate numbers to make Tyco's financial performance look better than it actually was. Now, some of those maneuvers are acceptable within the generally accepted rules of accounting, but the company, as you say, does plan to revise its financial statements by close to $400 million, and this is on top of some of those indictments you talked about, which are directed at Tyco's former CEO, Dennis Kozlowski, and several other executives and one former director.
Although I gather Tyco shares actually went up today on the market.
That's right. These results were perhaps not as bad as some investors had been expecting from this report.
Well, generally, arrests of executives were so common this year that reading the business page was almost like reading the sports section.
And the arrest started with the new year. It was on January 9th of 2002 that the Justice Department opened its criminal probe into Enron. And the very next day, Enron's auditor, Arthur Andersen, remember them, acknowledged that some of its employees had destroyed Enron documents. At the time, that seemed like a pretty big scandal, but it turned out just to be the first of many as the year went on. Enron held the record of the biggest corporate bankruptcy for a scant 7 months before it was eclipsed by WorldCom's Chapter 11 filing. And to date, WorldCom has admitted cooking its books to the tune of $9 billion. That's with a B, dollars.
This was also the year that three members of the Rigas family were arrested and accused of treating the Adelphia Cable Television Company as their own personal piggy bank. And it seems like they were in pretty good company.
Yes, the raiding of corporate piggy banks by executives was all too common, as we learned in 2002. We learned how Bernie Ebers had borrowed more than $400 million from WorldCom to cover his own stock market obligations. We learned how Dennis Kozlowski at Tyco spent company money on, among other things, a golden wastebasket and a $15,000 antique umbrella stand. Even General Electric's retired CEO, Jack Welch, took one straight to the gut when his rather lavish retirement perks were revealed in a messy divorce proceeding.
Meanwhile, it was also a very eventful year for the watchdogs of Wall Street, the Securities and Exchange Commission.
That's right. In the first couple of months of the year, the SEC opened twice as many investigations as it had the year before, and by year's end, it filed about 50% more financial fraud cases than it had in the year 2000. But of course, the SEC has had its own problems. It's currently without a chairman. Harvey Pitt was forced to resign on Election Day after a series of political missteps, which peaked with the bungling of the nomination of William Webster to head a new accounting oversight board. Even the former FBI director got his hands a little bit dirty this year. No one suggested that Mr. Webster had done anything wrong himself, but he was on the board of directors of a company that's now accused of fraud. And in 2002, investors, I think, put a lot more scrutiny on boards of directors, wondering why some of these scandals hadn't been caught earlier.
Is there any sense that Congress's response to all these scandals, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, might actually go far enough to prevent such things from happening again?
Well, it's interesting. The law was passed in July, very much in reaction to the WorldCom revelations, and it was much tougher than legislation that had been considered just a couple months earlier. It will probably be some time before we know how well the measure works. Some of the scandals that we learned about in 2002 actually took place in earlier years. One shareholder's lawyer who I talked to say the best cure for corporate corruption will be some long prison terms for executives, and we've yet to see any of those. Most of these criminal cases are still pending, so judgment day for executives will have to wait at least until 2003.
Well, NPR's Scott Horsley, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Robert.